the heart of the Carolinas, a breath of fresh air, a voice of reason. This is the Vince Coakley radio program.
Welcome to the broadcast. How are you today? It's kind of interesting that I think many times throughout this year, we had a sense that, you know, maybe things are swinging in another direction and there would be some level of relief from the coronavirus and that we would be moving to a place of something resembling normalcy. I know some of you do not like The Open, the one with Samuel L. Jackson in it. And I was just thinking this morning, you know, we're still in that place, especially here in the state of North Carolina, where we have a curfew, which is going into effect beginning on Friday. We'll talk about that in just a bit. But it was kind of interesting just to think about how this year has gone. We had the hope, the expectation that things would in some way change, that this thing would run its course. There was always the understanding there would have to be a treatment and or vaccine, which thankfully we seem to have here. And now we've got concerns about the vaccine, which we will talk about in a bit here. I really want to get your thoughts. And this is not a ploy. This is not marketing or anything like that. But when I've expressed to you, not just about the coronavirus, but about this country in general and where we are and how we profoundly need divine help, I really mean it. I don't know about you, but in the depths of my soul, I really feel this. There's this sense of desperation. Lord, we need your help. We need your guidance. We need your protection, your help. I don't know how many conversations I've had in the last 24 hours with people expressing what can best be described as COVID fatigue. You know, the reality is we cannot find ourselves being lulled into a place where we become lazy and we're not taking necessary precautions. Now, for those of you who may be new to this program and do not know where is this Vince Coakley guy coming from, what is his perspective? Is he one of those COVID deniers? You know, I make the point all the time that I do not believe in buying into false binary choices. I don't believe in panic porn. And on the other hand, I also do not want to go the other direction and deny the seriousness of what we are facing. Just this morning, there was a friend I had not talked to in several days. I just sent a typical text to this friend and said, "Hey, what's up? How's it going?" He responds, "Hi, I'm having a rough week. My grandmother's in the hospital because of COVID in critical condition." My heart goes out to this family and so many others who are dealing with a very real issue. The other thing that's been going through my mind before we talk about the issue, the order from Governor Cooper, is I come to a place where I ask the question, because we keep getting driven to this place of let's follow the science. And remember I told you the next person I hear say that to me, I'm going to punch. I'm so tired of hearing that. Because just about everything everybody is saying has absolutely nothing to do with science. Nothing. So the question that I bring, and I want to put this out there before I even share what Governor Cooper wants to do beginning Friday. I just want to put out there, and I want all of your minds engaged in this process as well. What is the real solution? You know, other than the vaccine, What is it that we can really do in a practical way that's really going to make a difference? Because obviously, we're at a place where we're seeing a surge in cases. We're seeing a surge in deaths, a surge in hospitalizations. What is the best way to address this? Is there anything that we can do? And here's my next question, because I don't want to just hear ideas. Please tell me the science behind your idea. What is it? There may be something solid there, but I want to hear it. I don't just want to hear taking a shot in the dark. Because I think in many ways we've been lab creatures under experimentation for quite some time anyway. So Governor Cooper unveiled a modified stay-at-home order. It requires 10.5 million of us who live in the state of North Carolina to remain off the streets between 10 and 5. Now, I'm not trying to be flippant here. I really am not. And you've probably seen the memes on social media. They're everywhere. So does the virus go to sleep? Does it go dormant at 10 p.m. and wake up at 5 a.m.? I don't know. I'm asking this question. This is a serious question. This executive order takes effect on Friday. Orders bars, restaurants, entertainment venues, personal care businesses closed by 10 p.m. Grocery chains and some retailers that sell groceries, they will be able to operate within that 7-hour window. On-site alcohol sales at bars, that has to end by 9 p.m. Travel to and from work between 10 and 5 is still permitted, along with travel to get food, gas, medical care, or social services. And we have this. There may be more restrictions on the way if the spread does not slow. Governor Cooper saying, let me be clear, we will do more if our trends do not improve. That means additional actions involving indoor restaurant dining, entertainment facilities, shopping, retail capacity. No, nobody wants this. This order remains in effect until January 8th. So we will go into the new year with these restrictions. Part of the concern, the state's hospitals facing increased risk of getting overrun. For the sixth day in a row and 11 of the last 12 days, North Carolina's hit new highs in current COVID-related hospitalizations. Data posted yesterday from the Department of Health and Human Services, 2,400 people hospitalized. This is a doubling of hospitalizations over the last month, a doubling. The percentage of tests coming back positive and deaths also sharply rising. So again, and I want to invite you into this conversation, and those of you who are south of the border, bear with us. Your thoughts are welcome as well. How do we address this? What is the real solution here? Is this going to help? Our Ingalls Advantage talk line number, 800-928-1110, 800-928-1110. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, it's 71307. On the text line, welder friend here. LOL, my mom and dad had a curfew on me growing up. Let's just say it didn't work for them either. But it's all okay, right, Vince? Because the evil orange man will be gone soon. And you can take one big moral sigh of relief. Another Kool-Aid drinker on the broadcast this morning. This person saying, how do you address this thing? Ha ha, you can follow the science. Sorry, Mr. Coakley, had to do it. You just had to, didn't you? Vince, these hospitals are not full. Why do you report this as if it's true? Y'all scared to call this a hoax. See, this is the kind of nonsense that really drives me up the wall. This person saying they're making the flu or pneumonia seem like a pandemic. I there are just enough of these, enough people I know who have died. Can we stop this nonsense of even, this word hoax should not even be used, ever. Do not. I'm just appealing to you, those of you who do things like this, especially on social media, you're making all of us look like a bunch of idiots. Please stop it. I'm saying this for real. Let's follow the science. We're all in this together. Then they make stupid rules they don't follow and go home to their gated mansions that we are not invited to share, only invited to follow. This person would like to know what activity Cooper is trying to hide. Who knows? All the lockdowns, masks, social distancing in the world's not going to keep people from dying. Everybody dies. The important thing isn't when you die, but where you spend eternity once you do. Certainly a good thing to think about now, wouldn't you say? I love the Samuel Jackson opening. He should say, wear your darn mask. It would be a lot more colorful, don't you think? These restrictions won't do a bit of good. If they did, why in the heck do we still have them? This is all about control, this person says. I think this is one of the concerns people have raised from the very beginning. I want to get your thoughts. And again, I'm looking for constructive things that, what can we do? What is this curfew a good idea or is it a bad idea? Do you think it's going to be effective? Are you going to follow it? It doesn't make any difference for you, for that matter. Let's go out to a call from Brian here in Charlotte. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, Brian. Hey, Vince, how you doing this morning?
All right, sir.
Hey, yeah, man, that was a, you know, I don't want to call the question dumb and stupid, but that was an ignorant question. Does the virus go to bed at 10? Is that what you asked? Were you serious?
Goodbye, Brian. If you don't have any enough of a sense of humor to follow what I was saying, because a person's obviously raising a logical question here about these hours. I mean, if you think about it, well, I can't even believe I'm starting to explain this. Brian, if you want to have an intelligent conversation, feel free to call back. But that was, my goodness. Mike, hopefully you can redeem us now. Good morning, Mike.
Yeah, I'll do my best anyway. Good morning, Vince. First of all, let's agree that we're going to look at this on a very micro level instead of the whole society, for starters, because we know that whatever we come up with depends on voluntary compliance, not
Absolutely.
Any legislation or force of law, or not 100% of people are going to do anything. All right, so let's look on a really small, let's say Pineville as an example. Israel and India are finalizing a very quick, very cheap COVID test. Picture a home pregnancy test. It'll be a couple of bucks and give you a nearly instant reading. Are you positive or not? Okay, so if we were provided, if everybody in Pineville was provided enough tests for, let's say, a month, because a COVID test is only a snapshot of that moment, if the people took that daily test, if you test positive, stay home for a week. If you test negative, go on about your business. And then within a month or so, the people in Pineville will have rooted out that virus by isolating themselves after that cheap, quick, daily positive test. And the virus will be greatly reduced from that community.
That, you know, that's a great idea. See, this is the kind of thing I love, you know, because once you get to that place where you're able to do this, you can do this inexpensively, you can do this quickly, and then you get to the place you can start to isolate this virus to the people who actually have it. Because right now, we're flying blind, aren't we, Mike? Because we don't know who has it.
Well, we know who has it. After there's been probably a 4 or 5, 6 day period where they didn't know they had it, and
yes,
they infected however many people.
Exactly.
That's why we're doing contact tracing.
Yep, exactly. Which isn't working very well, by the way. I've seen a number of stories on this recently, and they're saying that the level of cooperation with contact tracing is horrible. So it's not very good. Mike, very wonderful contribution, and we need to follow what happens with this process to see if they actually succeed and that gets some traction in terms of rapid testing and being able to do this with a multitude of people. You talk about mass production of tests, the production involved in that, that's pretty enormous. We're really talking about, if we're honest about it, worldwide, we're talking about billions of tests. That is a lot. Let's go out to Jeff. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, good morning. Love your show, Vince.
Thank you.
Hey, I think the curfews are a bad idea, simply because it seems like it would create a higher population in the stores the last few hours before closing. Would it not be better to have everyone be open 24 hours to create more of a trickle effect to where you're not congregated so tightly together?
You know, see, and this is the other point that I've heard raised before, that, yeah, all you're going to do is you're going to stuff people into those other hours within the curfew, which means more people are going to make sure that they are there. And again, I'm not trying to, you know, basically blow up every idea, but I think some of these things really aren't well thought out, are they? It almost seems like some of these decisions are made in desperation, don't you think, Jeff?
Yes, sir. And a control factor, as you spoke of earlier.
Yeah. See, and this is the other problem that I wrestle with. I remember yesterday I showed, as soon as this happened, I took this and showed this to a friend of mine. And this person was ready to blow a gasket. He said, man, you just ruined my entire day showing me that post. And I think there are a lot of people very upset about this. Jeff, very much appreciate your call. We have time as well to hit Jay. Good morning, Jay.
I think we need to fight logic with logic. We've all heard when you go into a restaurant, you should wear a mask. But when you sit down, you can take your mask off. If that's the case, then people in wheelchairs should never have to wear a mask because they're sitting down all the time.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, is that about right?
Jay.
It only gets you when you're about 3 feet or higher.
I don't know what to say to that, Jay. You've made an interesting observation here. On the serious side, I do want to mention the fact that we've talked about the vaccine. You know, we're looking at a place now here within the next, 6 months or so, when we can potentially see millions of people vaccinated by that time. Now we have another wrinkle in this, some concern about a problem with the vaccine itself. We'll talk about that as we continue in just a moment.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program.
Back on the broadcast, and I'm serious. You know, we've had some joking along the way about some of the memes that are circulating. But obviously, this is serious business. There are important questions that need to be raised. How do we bring this thing under control, in addition to dealing with vaccines and treatments? And we have this to throw into the mix. Remember, we were celebrating, was it Monday morning? The first vaccination was given. The 90-year-old woman. And this was heralded as a wonderful development, which I believe it is. But we also have this from the New York Post this morning. UK issues allergy warning about Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine after patients fall ill. This is exactly why there's a lot of reservations out there by a lot of people. Some of you are thinking, oh my goodness, this is exactly why I wanted to wait and see what happens to other people first. I mean, it sounds awful, but this is human nature. Nobody wants to go first with something like this. People with significant allergic reactions are being warned not to get Pfizer's new coronavirus vaccine after two people needed treatment after getting jabbed on the day it was launched in the UK. The unidentified duo, both staff in the UK's National Health Service, again, the priority in many cases is to get some of these healthcare workers vaccinated first. They needed treatment for an anaphylactoid reaction after they were among the first in the world to get the shot. The Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency immediately issued precautionary advice against vaccinating anyone with a history of significant allergic reactions to medicines, food, or vaccines. Oh boy. Stephen Prowse, National Medical Director for the NHS in England, said two people with a history of significant allergic reactions responded adversely, adding that both are recovering well. The MHRA have advised on a precautionary basis people with significant history of allergic reactions do not receive the vaccine. But he also added, this kind of thing is common with new vaccines. The head of the regulatory agency noted the adverse responses to the vaccine while reporting to a parliament committee today. We know from the very extensive clinical trials, this was not a feature. So this is the first time they're seeing this. In all of the trials, at least this is what they're telling us, in all of the trials, this has not happened before. If we need to strengthen our advice, now that we have had this experience with the vulnerable populations, the groups who have been selected as a priority, we will get that advice to the field immediately. Which, it's now out there. Now, I'm kind of curious. Does this have an impact on any of you? Now, a lot of you have expressed you're not interested in this vaccine in the first place. Is there anybody now who's saying, well, wait a second here. Well, what else are we yet to discover? Because we're talking short term with this allergic reaction. What are the long term implications that we have yet to find out? Let's go out to Michael. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, good morning, Vince. I hope you're doing well today. I wanted to just jump right into it. Sorry, because I'm on my way to an appointment. I wanted to stem off of your caller who talked about isolating the vaccine and then make a few points aside from that. So it's pretty much understood that the virus was not started by infecting hundreds of thousands of people. The general thought is that it infected few and that spread around the globe. So based on just simple math, which is multiplication, the virus will not be eradicated. You can't reduce the number of people that have the virus and then expect to go on your way with still people that would still be infected, and that virus would just disappear. It's not going to happen. And I think what we're looking at is our governments, and I use plural, governments, have given us a narrative of their direction and what they want us to think about this virus. And I think we need to really just stop. I think the American people need to stop and ask our representatives for more information. So either the governments of the world know more about this virus than they're letting on, or they're simply, they have a different agenda, a different motive. Because what is going on is just ridiculous. Everybody knows it, and everybody just talks about it, but nobody says stop.
Now, when you say what is going on is ridiculous, what are you referring to in particular as being ridiculous?
Well, so a lot of the rules, okay?
Okay, you're talking about the restrictions, the lockdowns, right?
Yeah, let's take Cooper's new after 10. So the coronavirus is not contagious until 10 o'clock. Let's take the walk into a restaurant wearing a mask. sit down and eat without a mask. Get up to use the restroom, put a mask on. I mean, these are just stupid people. They are stupid. Stupid rules. So let's get back to looking at the narrative that we're given and what reality is. Reality is not that we're going to get rid of the virus. Reality is that just like viruses throughout history, we need to manage it. We need to, yes, work on therapeutics, and I think we need to work on a vaccine, but as it's proven just from yesterday, the vaccine is not there, okay? Rushing it out, I don't believe, is going to do more good than harm. I don't believe that. I think that we need to, as a society, say, hey, how do we take a different look at this? Maybe go with the 30,000-foot approach. Let's back up and look at this. So, yes, people who are vulnerable, maybe they need to quarantine and isolate. But stopping the economies of the world is just plain ridiculous. Thinking that we're going to get rid of the virus is ridiculous. You know, viruses, we know this. Antibiotics don't really work well on viruses, okay? And in order to get rid of something, an antibiotic will kill a bacteria because a bacteria is living and a virus is, quote unquote, not living. So we need to destroy the virus rather than kill it. Destroy it meaning separate it and render it harmless. Why is it that, and I'll use you for an example, and I know that you need to speak to an audience and you need to
It's got to be quick. We got 20 seconds here.
But why is it that we're talking about nonsense like hamsters on a wheel?
Yep, I hear you, Michael, and the place where some of these restrictions have gone, you know, it's turned a lot of people off. There's no question about it. So, we'll continue our discussion coming up. Back on the broadcast on the text line, Vince, it seems we focus on setbacks more than progress. These vaccines, they are 90 to 95% effective, not perfect. The 737 MAX is an example. Two crashes by foreign carriers, yet the baby was thrown out with the bathwater. Risk is a part of life. That's really good. Very important to consider that. Mr. Vince, all these hypothetical situations will get us nowhere. Great day to think positive, I'm just saying. How can we be concerned about the vaccine when they were not specific on when the allergic reaction was? Was it redness at the site of injection? Headaches? What exactly? I'm sick of the coverage. The media is playing for headlines. It's sickening. Vince, my primary doctor, told me he would rather I had COVID than get a COVID vaccine. Wow. He knows what that is and what it does and how it will affect things, but he does not know what that vaccine will do 5 years from now. He also said if you must get a vaccine, stay away from Pfizer and go with Moderna. Wow, that's kind of interesting. Quite intriguing, the perspectives that are out there. Let's go out to a call from James. Good morning, James.
Hey, Vince, how you doing this morning?
All right, sir.
Hey, I've got a grand idea in regards to all these vaccination test groups, and I think that if all the members of the labs that created these supposed virus or vaccinations and all the members of mainstream media such as CNN and MSNBC and such and so forth, as well as all members of the Democratic Party would like to step up and act as a group of guinea pigs for this coronavirus hoax, I would totally stand behind that.
Oh, come on. Don't use that word hoax. Why do you use that word? I'm just curious. Well, I don't think we're going to get an answer to that question from James. He's already disappeared. That word really does bother me. And it bothered me when the president used it, and don't call me and say, well, the president didn't mean this or that. Just, it's just one of those things with words. They carry such significant meaning. And when you communicate something like that, you just put that out there, especially you give something like that to the media. And as you know, they run with it, especially when the president's the target. By the way, coming up, we're going to talk about the presidential election. I just want to give you a heads up. In fact, in the next hour, one of the things I'm going to mention, we're going to have an update on some new litigation. And we have a conversation with Andrew McCarthy yesterday, who is basically telling us not to get our hopes up about this lawsuit by Texas. But it's kind of interesting. It's not just Texas now. Other states are jumping in, and they want to participate in the litigation. And I think this may make the Supreme Court take notice. I just want to declare something now, and this is just kind of a preview of what we will talk about in a few minutes. I told you I know this lady, dear lady. I'm trying to be so gracious here and trying not to say... It's really an example of the swaggering ignorance that I told you so grieves my heart to watch. It's one thing when you don't know something. It's one thing when you're ignorant. When you're swaggering about it and you're showing everybody, I just want to read a few things from, this is a person who, I mean, this person's hatred for the president and for Republicans, it's awful. And the only reason I haven't unfollowed her is she's really kind of a person that helps me to see what the other side, the real hardcore Kool-Aid drinking Democrats, really do believe. And there are some. This was a post from a couple of days ago. 45 days till 45 is gone. Pass it along. And you know, one of the thoughts that went through my mind when I saw this, I thought to myself, you know, I could not help but to reflect on Proverbs 24:17. You've heard me mention this before. The New International Version says, do not gloat when your enemy falls, when they stumble. Do not let your heart rejoice, or the Lord will see and disapprove and turn his wrath away from them. And you know, the thought was going in my head when I saw that this woman posted this. I thought, you know, it would serve her right and millions of other people in this country if the Supreme Court completely slaps down all of these states that have been jacking around with this particular software company and decides, you know what? There are serious questions here. And there are serious reasons to question the validity of the elections held in these states that would pave the way for legislatures to then follow through and say, you know what? We're going to go ahead and change our electors for Trump. And the president's in for another 4 years. I know, I believe, and I'm just being honest with you, I think this is a long shot. But just because some of these people are making such asses out of themselves, gloating about this, it would be great if the Lord's mercy were shown here toward not so much even Trump, but the country. And these people who've been celebrating, and these folks in their presumption who are already measuring the drapes in the White House, making plans, appointments, all of a sudden they're completely stopped in their tracks. Wouldn't that be awesome? I think this, I would just crack up. I really would. And this is frankly what these people deserve. Because not just for what they've done since the election, what they've been doing the last 3-4 years. It's just absolutely awful. Coming up, we will talk about this lawsuit and some of the statements from leaders in other states who are jumping in and saying, hey, we agree with Texas. That's straight ahead.
From the heart of the Carolinas, affirming life, liberty, and property for all. Resisting false narratives.
We are trained Marxists.
And exposing the true dangerous agenda of radical groups.
If this country doesn't give us what we want, then we will burn down this system and replace it.
This is the Vince Coakley Radio Program.
Hour number two of our Wednesday broadcast, and I want to go back to my friend's page. And like I said, I'm not even going to mention her first name because it's one of those unusual names that would be recognizable. Toward the end of the first hour, I told you about this person I know who just has an enormous hatred, not only for Donald Trump, but for Trump supporters. Now, one of the things I want to do is I want to take one of this woman's posts, and I want to go back to 2008. You'll understand what I mean by this. Here's what she posted. I hope America, this is from yesterday, I hope America sees all these monkeys in Washington trying to get this election overturned. McConnell, McCarthy, Graham, Cruz, Jordan. Safe Harbor was today, and these knuckleheads are trying to challenge it. This is insane. These senators are just as crazy as Trump. Let me just ask you this question. What if a white person did this same post talking about monkeys in Washington and mentioned Barack Obama and other black members of Congress? How would that be received? I'm just keeping it real here, folks, because I'm tired of this stuff. These are the folks who are preaching to us about civility. And we need civility. We need civility. And they're some of the nastiest people. They really are. Nasty. Hateful. Bitter. And it's really mind-boggling. I'm just going through this. It's just continuous. Now, this woman is nowhere near as bad as this other person that I know. Oh, listen to this. This man is evil beyond belief. And to think 20% of black men voted for this beast? Remember, I shared with you a post how she was really upset that black men would even consider voting for Donald Trump. You know, and it's really sad. And again, I really do. My heart breaks with the ignorance of people like this. It's horrible. Anyway, I'll get off of this. Because I'm serious, it drives. I really may reach the point where I may unfollow this person because this is absolutely crazy. So yesterday, we told you about the lawsuit filed by Texas. They have sued four battleground states over unlawful election results in the 2020 presidential race. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton filed this lawsuit to invalidate presidential election results in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Wisconsin, and Michigan, asserting that unlawful election results in those four states, which President-elect Joe Biden won, should be declared unconstitutional. The filing argues those states used the coronavirus pandemic as an excuse to unlawfully change their election rules. Experts in election law, quick to dismiss the likelihood of the nine Supreme Court justices taking this case. Now, I want you to understand something before I go into some of the other states that are on board here. Now, what you have to understand is, and this goes back to the beginning of the country. You see, there had to be an understanding. There needed to be an understanding and a sense of security from all of the states to want to participate in this experiment. For instance, if I came in with the idea that I knew that several states were going to cheat, that they were going to be dishonest, they were not going to be honest brokers, and I'm in one of these other states, especially. I mean, let's get real here. Let's say I'm in a small state, Rhode Island. And Pennsylvania, I know those folks are crooked. And I have the sense that these people are not going to be honest and transparent. Why would I want to enter into any sort of relationship or compact or agreement with these people when I know they're not going to be people of great moral character? Why? This is really the argument Texas is making here. These folks, they're basically saying that what they have done is they have cheated. They have been dishonest. They have been unlawful. And in the process, they have disenfranchised millions of other voters who have done this the right way. Other states that have been consistent in their laws. You understand the point that I'm making here? It is absolutely vital that this is understood. If you cannot have the confidence that other states are conducting their elections with integrity, knowing the consequences for your country that you're a part of, if you can't have confidence that they're going to conduct fair elections, what's the point of this experiment? Blow it up. Get rid of the whole thing. I'm not advocating this. I'm just saying to you, this is what the Texas Attorney General is saying. They've invalidated an election by the irregularities that have taken place, all under the guise of needing to do this because of the coronavirus. How many things that are going on in our country right now, examples of tyranny and just plain stupidity, are being excused just because of the coronavirus? It's kind of crazy, isn't it? Texas not alone. Alabama, Louisiana joining in this lawsuit as well. The Attorneys General of Alabama, Louisiana, expressing interest in this lawsuit. The suit seeks to have each state's lawmakers decide their electors, rather than having the electors reflect the will of their voting citizens. The unconstitutional actions and fraudulent votes in other states not only affect the citizens of those states, they affect the citizens of all states, of the entire United States. That's the point I was just making. Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall, that's what he said in a statement published yesterday. He's joining this case if the Supreme Court takes it up. The state of Texas has filed this motion to the U.S. Supreme Court requesting permission to sue four states over voting irregularities in those states during this year's presidential election. It's my expectation the court will act quickly in deciding whether to grant the state of Texas request. That decision will instruct me as to how the state of Alabama will proceed in our fight to ensure election integrity. And they're not going to be alone. Others will join. We'd love to get your thoughts and on the chances this thing might succeed. Stay with us. For the break, we were sharing with you this statement from the Attorney General in Alabama. He said the unconstitutional actions and fraudulent votes in other states not only affect the citizens of those states, they affect the citizens of all states, of the entire United States. Every unlawful vote counted or lawful vote uncounted debases and dilutes citizens' free exercise of the franchise. The state of Alabama will continue to pursue any legal remedy that's available to protect her people from such disenfranchisement. Both our rights and our republic demand it. And frankly, this is where people are. They do not want to tolerate this kind of thing. It's serious business. And at least some of these leaders are taking this seriously. This person saying, Vince, didn't South Carolina join that lawsuit as well, asking for a friend? Never thought I would see the day when Republicans running scared with their heads cut off. Accept it or let's go. Trump's lost. Now people talking about having a revolution. I've heard a lot of people say this. I'm a Democrat. And I'm ready too. Wow. Also this. Where did I see this? There it is. Vince, I stand in line 3 days a week at a big box sporting goods store just to buy ammo for the upcoming Second Civil War, which we all know is coming. It's Jim out of Easley. Jim, you're pretty hardcore here, man. Vince, SCOTUS will not hear the Texas case. They refuse to hear the Pennsylvania case, stating that you have standing because your own electoral influence is diluted is laughable. This person says no more monkey business. There were no irregularities. The results just wasn't in your or the Republicans' favor. I can understand the Republicans didn't have access to absentee voting or early voting. Instead, your leadership decided to tell its voters not to use it. Even if his voters mailed in or voted early, the numbers weren't there for Trump. Oh, this is why 82 million voters are not being considered. You guys are only talking about the 74 million that lost. What do you think here? What do you think here? So we've now got a number of states that are jumping on board and saying, hey, we agree. Where do you think this goes? What are the odds that they will actually do something extraordinary? Are they going to look favorably upon this at all? Let's go out to Tom. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Vincent. You stole my thunder by talking about the Civil War with these different people getting their guns and stuff. But basically what I wanted to say, this is nothing more to me, these challenges, than a undermined and underhanded, feeble attempt in a minor way to succeed from the United States, these southern states saying...
You think they're going to secede? Is that what you think, where this is going?
I think it's a feeble attempt. It's not going to succeed.
Oh, you're saying it's not going to... Okay, I hear what you're saying here.
But you see what I do... I'm saying it's kind of like a weak attempt to succeed. They're not calling it succession, but that's all of it. In fact, that's what it's ridiculous. You see what I'm saying, don't you?
So let me ask you this question. Do you think this election, in especially some of these states, are you convinced everything was above board?
I honestly do, because like I told you before, and I thank you for letting me, you know, talk on your show sometimes. I am an elected official, I won't say in what city, but many, many years ago, 20, 30 years ago, I went through the same thing that Trump.
Oh, I remember this. Yes.
I wouldn't lie to you, because you know pretty much who I am when I call. But the thing is, when they put the voters out of the room, again, like I say, I went all the way to Raleigh with my dad. I was a young guy then. He said, if you believe that they cheated, or I said, Dad, that's not the point. They put the people out. The voters couldn't watch. And he said, we're going to the State Board of Election in Raleigh. So we went. But the fact is, and I don't know whether this was political or not, but they turned us down, and I never forgot until this day. So I feel sorry for Trump, but I don't think that he's going to win, and I hope that everything was legitimate.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. By the way, I'd like to get some more information from you to follow up on this, because I remember our previous conversation. I appreciate your call there, Tom. And it'll be interesting to see what the court thinks of these arguments that are presented. Because Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Georgia, they have to reply to this lawsuit. That's what has to happen next. They have to reply, and it has to be in by tomorrow at 3 p.m. You know, it's one of those things you kind of wonder, what kind of... what's going through your mind when you're writing your response to the Supreme Court? This is a big deal. The court did post online yesterday evening response to the motion for leave to file a bill of complaint and to the motion of preliminary injunction and temporary restraining order for stay, administrative stay, requested due December 10th, 3 p.m. And one constitutional law professor is saying, I don't think it indicates anything very important, but the court will act quickly on Thursday. So this person's thinking, this constitutional attorney thinks, whatever they do, they're going to respond very quickly. Could you imagine the bombshell tomorrow if they ultimately decide, you know what? There's something here. We're going to take this. Can you imagine all the newsrooms, the liberal news media that's basically been hammering Donald Trump for the last few years, and then they've been kissing up to Joe Biden and actively participating in what they believe to be an upcoming coronation? Man, their heads will explode. I'm serious. It'll be funny. It'll be absolutely hilarious just to watch, to see all of the, oh my goodness, they will just absolutely lose it. They will lose their ever-loving minds. Sam, you got about a minute here.
Okay, I just want to explain to you, I don't believe that any of your callers are calling the virus a hoax as far as downplaying the seriousness. It's a very real disease. It's very really killing people. It's all the hoaxes surrounding it. To begin with, research shows that that virus developed 800 years worth of natural development. So it probably was laboratory driven. It has been weaponized against the economy. There's the hoax that it's occurring naturally. There's the hoax they used it to commandeer the elections. There's a hoax that big business is not using this opportunity to wipe out small business. There's the hoax that mass and shutdowns are actually effective. Then there's the hoax of the vaccine when they say if you get it naturally, 4 months later you can get it again, or we're going to get a vaccine every 4 months. I think that's what your callers are calling a hoax.
Yeah, and it's important that the distinction is made there. I do appreciate your call, Sam, and the distinction there. It's the things surrounding this virus that I think are driving people so crazy. And most of it is put out there by politicians. Isn't that wonderful? On the broadcast, interesting to read the texts here that are coming in response to this lawsuit. People wondering what's going to happen with the Supreme Court. And we have this. And hey, I receive what you're saying here. I don't take this as a criticism. Vince, you accuse the politicians of confusing us by spreading misinformation. I listen to you every day. When your program is over, I'm as confused as ever. Go figure. And here's what's going on here. I understand where you're coming from. This is a confusing world. That's the bottom line. And this is a situation where we need clarity. We need clarity from the court. Where are we going to go as a country? Are we a nation of laws? Are we a nation of men? Are we a nation of whims? Oh, we are going to do our election this way this time. And we're going to let people know, right in the middle of voting, that we're changing our processes. Vince, if SCOTUS follows through, the media will continue to deny the truth and convince the listeners to take the streets because this is Trump's coup. Yeah, I've seen that phrase already. Trump's coup. Really good one. Tomorrow at 3 p.m. when the four swing states need to respond, SCOTUS will respond later, maybe Friday. Probably using the same form they sent to Pennsylvania yesterday. It's possible. If SCOTUS takes up the case, the media would instantly go into attacking conservatives on the court, justify it by scrutinizing their activism, in quotes, via past conservative rulings. Bet on it. And this, Democrats are without honor and like to make up their own rules. Then even those rules don't apply to them. I don't understand how they believe themselves to be moral. Well, this is what happens when you are your own judge. This is how it works. This is why I and millions of other people here in the United States of America reject progressivism. Because ultimately, progressives believe man is the measure of all things. Man is the ultimate one who decides everything. Because we're getting smarter. You know that. We're getting wiser. Our morality is obviously improving because we're just becoming better human beings through evolution. Come on, people. Get with the program. Let's go out to Shirley in Charlotte. Good morning.
Good morning. The audacity of Texas to sue, they're the ones that took the ballot box and put them 30 miles apart in Harris County, the black precinct, so the people would have to drive forever to drop their ballots off. Come on, Vince. This state, they had voter suppression going on in Texas, and they have the audacity to file a lawsuit? Come on. The Supreme Court's not going to deal with that. They're not going to deal with that.
Don't you're not concerned about this at all?
I'm concerned that they were suppressing the vote in Texas. I'm concerned about that, and also picking up mailboxes. Come on, Trump needs to stop. He needs to stop. He just needs to stop. Really.
All right, Shirley. I understand where you're coming from, and you're not alone. There are a lot of people who are of the same conviction. Charlie, good morning. Welcome.
Hey, good morning, Vince. First, I want to say I'm never confused listening to you or your show. I really enjoy it.
I'm glad to hear that.
What I wanted to mention was, you know, if Joe Biden becomes a president, at his inaugural celebration, I don't know how they could do anything other than have a private inaugural event at the White House behind closed doors with only 10 people present. Because if you had a regular inauguration, inaugural parade, the inaugural lunch, the inaugural ball, the inaugural dinner, isn't that the height of hypocrisy?
Yeah, you really can't have anything. I mean, if you're going to be really serious about this, and you're going to be as sanctimonious as you have been throughout this entire process, what you will do is you will have one person in a room, standing. What Chief Justice of the Supreme Court standing 6 feet away from you, you standing there with your wife, and that's it.
Just about. And if they try to do anything other than something like that, I hope the Republicans hold their feet to the fire. And, of course, the press that all likes to, the liberal press, they'll all think it's fine. But if you reverse the situation, if it was Trump, if he makes it, and he didn't do that, there would be hell to pay.
Well, and think about this. Haven't we been watching through this process for months as these folks have justified rioting and looting, and they've never had a concern about social distancing or masks or anything like that? They only have concern about Trump
protesting.
Right, exactly. It's kind of crazy. Charlie, do appreciate your call. It'll be interesting to see how much consistency that we actually see with these folks who have been preaching at us and doing all the sermonizing and the virtue signaling. It's really been nauseating. It really has. Let us go out to Stan in Charlotte. Good morning, Stan.
Hi, Vince. How are you doing this morning?
All right, sir.
Okay, well, we all know that the Democrats basically said they never let a crisis go to waste. And so what we're actually watching here with them in this crisis is we're watching the creation of a so-unquote called the National Company Store. Do you remember what they used to do with the company stores back in the coal mines?
Well, tell me about this.
Okay, what they used to do is they used to rent you your tools. They used to own your home. They used to own the grocery store.
Oh, yes, yes.
Your whole paycheck went to them. And so what we're doing is we're watching the small businesses being shut out intentionally to create where you have several apparent competitors in each industry that collude behind the scenes to fix prices for all of us. And that's what we're watching in all industries. And Chick-fil-A, I don't know if you knew this or not, but Chick-fil-A has now sued the four major poultry producers in the country claiming collusion. And it'd be interesting to see how that lawsuit plays out, because I think that's going all in. Amazon's growing. And Amazon is into FedEx now. Amazon is into shipping. Amazon's into everything. And so what we're going to do is we're going to see about 12 to 15 big billionaire people actually control all industries. And what they'll do is how they will ferment that control is they will donate heavily to political campaigns. And we just watch Facebook and the executives and Twitter and Facebook up in Washington, D.C., and they chastise them. And we think they're looking out for our interests.
They don't care. They really don't care. And we've said this before. Most of these congressional hearings are a profound waste of time. Just be quiet and cut out the theater. Stay with us.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program.